Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, and we turn to the report on the battle against the elements gathered together by Iran. The brain of the octopus is in Tehran, but the tentacles are of great concern. Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, certainly the Syrian forces can't be discounted. And then there are bad actors in all parts of the West Bank. We begin, however, with Hamas because we're on the eve of a new administration. And Mr. Daoud is going to help me understand the threat made by President-elect Trump about the hostages. They better be released by the time I'm president or, and I think he referred to Hades at that point. David, you're very welcome, and thank you for your work in 24, but we've got even a harder road in 25 because the war looks to be growing, not shrinking, with the collapse of the Syrian Assad regime. Syria is now a darkness visible, with chemical weapons unaccounted for, with bad actors in all corners. But I look to the Gaza Strip and Egypt for some resolution, at least a way of going forward for those 2 million people said to be inside Gaza. What is the hostage conversation? Does it exist? It keeps raising its head under the Biden administration, then it goes away. That threat issued by Mr. Trump, is anyone in Hamas or in Cairo listening to that threat? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. I imagine they are. Trump wants this war done. He said this from his first comments on the issue, but he wants it done. He seems to suggest in the right way that he wants the Israelis to get it done and get it done quickly, which means we may see a freer hand for the IDF, more support for the IDF to continue the war effort under a Trump administration with fewer breaks than we saw under the Biden administration. We saw reports, if I believe, from recalling correctly, that even last week there was talk that the Trump administration would not require the same standards of humanitarian assistance by the Israelis to Gaza moving forward. So all of this together would allow Israel to put more pressure upon Hamas, to decimate Hamas's capabilities even further than it has so far, which means that Hamas has, their leverage is with the hostages, but that could be running out as a bargaining chip if the Israelis suddenly have free hand to prosecute the war. Now, we are hearing talk of a ceasefire deal. It's been a while now. I think it's been over a month that we've had talk of an imminent ceasefire deal. Again, I'm having, to quote the great Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again, back to July and August. Yesterday, there were reports in Arab media outlets, and I think the BBC as well, on the potential names of hostages to be released. But Hamas is insisting on retaining some hostages, living hostages, to ensure the continuation of the ceasefire. So they're not giving up their bargaining chips entirely. There have been disagreements, points of disagreements on the exact details of what the ceasefire would entail between them and the Israelis. So again, it's very stop and go. And every time we think we've reached the finish line, it appears that we're far from it. And this is why from the outset, I've cautioned against undue optimism when it comes to this deal.
Bill, you have a question for David.
Yes, David, Happy New Year. There's still hostages, American hostages, being held by Hamas. Do you think it's possible that the Trump administration can secure their release at the very beginning, or is Hamas going to hold on to them just as tightly? You had mentioned that the Trump administration may remove those brakes. So there's going to do you think that Hamas can use that as a bargaining chip in order to potentially get Israel to not push so hard by releasing those American citizens?
I mean, I imagine if I'm in Hamas's shoes, I would do that. I would precisely do what you said. And Happy New Year to you too, Bill. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. Look, if you can't have brakes on Israel, you need to put brakes on the United States. And we know that President Trump is very protective over U.S. citizens held by foreign actors. And his responses to that, to the harm done to U.S. citizens, is rather erratic. Right. We have the case of Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis being assassinated over harm done to a U.S. contractor, an American citizen of Iraqi origin, by militias loyal to Iran. That was the action that precipitated the assassination of Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. Conversely, in Syria, with the case of Austin Tice, President Trump was willing to withdraw U.S. forces from the area just to get Tice back. So he's not exactly clear on what he's willing to do. Is it just force to protect U.S. persons or nationals abroad, or is he willing to make concessions? Now, if you're Hamas, that erraticness it makes it hard to predict. What is he going to do? Is he going to react in a way where he could throw the Israelis under the bus potentially and say, let's make a deal separately, give me my citizens back? Or is he going to say, you're holding my citizens and I have an ally that's armed to the teeth and willing and capable of doing you great harm? I'm going to let them do you great harm. I think for Hamas, there's an advantage to holding U.S. citizens. It can create leverage on the United States. But the unpredictability, the unpredictable nature of President Trump makes it such that there's a risk. It's not like with, say, the Biden administration, where you can predict where they're going to go. Trump could go one way. He could go another.
Headline from CNN. Israel warns Lebanon truce could collapse if Hezbollah doesn't withdraw in south. First line. Israel warned ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah could collapse if the Iran-backed group does not withdraw beyond the Latani River in southern Lebanon. Doesn't give me a timeline here. Is what the demand, is that a practical demand? Can Hezbollah do that? Quite aside from, will it do it? Can it get all of its people north of Latani?
I mean, it has to. That's the thing. This is the ceasefire agreement. This is what international law at the bare minimum requires. This is what Resolution 1701 required. Look, a ceasefire is not an end to a conflict. It doesn't take things, even from a legal standpoint, back to the status quo ante bellum, to where to restart the conflict, you have to have the same level of justification, the same level of violence done by your opponent that led you to go to war at the beginning. It's the terms of the ceasefire, most legal scholars would say, that operate kind of like a contract. If you don't fulfill your end of the bargain, I can take you to court, so to speak. Well, here the court is the battlefield. And if there's a serious violation of the ceasefire, then the kind of the victim side of that can theoretically restart hostilities. Now, the ceasefire requires Lebanon to distance Hezbollah north of the Litani River, to dismantle its infrastructure south of the Litani River, to disarm all armed groups, including Hezbollah, south of the Litani River. That is the crux of the ceasefire deal. Hezbollah's armed presence is the reason why these two countries went to war or engaged in a war to begin with. So if Lebanon doesn't fulfill the meat of the deal, the core of the deal, merely deploying the LAF is not sufficient. And that would constitute a serious violation of the ceasefire that the IDF, the Israelis, could use to justify renewing hostilities. Now, we saw late last week, I think it was Thursday or Friday, three Israeli airstrikes throughout Lebanon. This is, if I'm not mistaken, the highest number of airstrikes in one day since the ceasefire deal. And the Israelis then put out a statement and said they were targeting Hezbollah rocket launchers, that they had asked, per the ceasefire oversight committee mechanism, they had asked the LAF, the Lebanese Armed Forces, to take care of the problem first. And the Lebanese army didn't. And therefore, the IDF went into action. I think this is also the first time that the IDF called out the Lebanese army and the Lebanese state for inaction. And then we saw later that day this whole theatrical charade about the Mahan Air flight that came in from Iran. This is an Iranian airliner that is known to ferry or has been suspected to ferry weapons and or funds for Hezbollah. And the Lebanese made a big deal out of what they claim was a temporary holding of the plane and search. It seems like the timeline doesn't really add up to justify the Lebanese claims. But what the Lebanese seem to be doing there is saying, hey, look, no, we're acting against Hezbollah. Israel doesn't have a right to, we don't want the ceasefire time extended, and Israel doesn't have a right to restart hostilities. Look, we're acting against Hezbollah. It's a charade if you really dig down into the incident. So I think this is a concern the Lebanese have. This is a justification the Israelis have for renewed hostilities. But at the same time, Lebanon, it is very difficult for Lebanon. I think we've talked about this on the show before. It's near impossible for Lebanon to act against Hezbollah if Hezbollah is not willing without risking a civil war.
Bill, you have a question.
With the Iranian-led axis of resistance, loss of Syria, Hezbollah is largely isolated, with Hezbollah being largely isolated and weakened by Israeli operations over the summer and fall. And as you just discussed, Hezbollah's continued presence south of the Litani and the inability of the Lebanese Defense Force to clear them. Would it be wise for the IDF at this point in time to discard the ceasefire and resume operations?
I mean, I thought they never should have gone into the ceasefire to begin with. So, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, and we can drill down to this, right? Hezbollah is not a marginal actor in Lebanon, notwithstanding what some Lebanese activists will lead us to believe. 356,000 votes in the 2022 parliamentary elections. That is the biggest number of votes that any party received by 150,000. January poll in 2024 showed up to 93% of Lebanese Shiites, who are Lebanon's possibly largest demographic. We don't know because Lebanon hasn't had a census since 1932, but most likely its largest growing demographic. 93% of them support Hezbollah. A September 2024 poll showed also 85% of Lebanese Shia support Hezbollah, 5% don't. Right. So this is not a marginal actor. If you want to go move against this, you're moving against a segment of the Lebanese public, possibly one of its largest, that view this body and its arms as the guarantor of their equality within Lebanon, as the guarantor of their safety against all these enemies, real and fictional, that Hezbollah has created in their public psyche. So if you move against them, you're moving against what these Lebanese Shiites view as perhaps their personal safety, their guarantor of domestic dignity in Lebanon. And that could very well lead to a civil war. And the Lebanese on the other side know this, irrespective of how they feel about Hezbollah. And so you're not going to see this Lebanese action against Hezbollah. This gives Hezbollah an opening. Yes, Syria has been lost. But you know what? Beirut International Airport hasn't been lost. The Lebanese coastline hasn't been lost. And what we know about Hezbollah is that if there's a way, they will. They definitely have the will. So if they're not squeezed internally within Lebanon, then you're basically guaranteeing the group's resurgence in time, even if it takes a decade or two. This is a very patient group. And we're still not sure how Syria is going to shake out. That could fall apart into chaos and create openings for Iran to start using Syria again as an opening to start sending weapons to Hezbollah. So if I'm the Israelis, I wouldn't take chances on this. You can't take in 2006, the Israelis took a chance on Lebanon. The international community took a chance on Lebanon under Resolution 1701 to do what it was supposed to do under international law to begin with, disarm Hezbollah, distance it north of the Litani, secure its borders to prevent the group's regeneration, act like a sovereign country should. 18 years passed. They didn't do a single thing. I think the Israelis would be remiss if they trusted the Lebanese to do what they have not done in the past.
We're going to Yemen. David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Bill Rajo, my colleague and co-host of FDD.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.